I am Jet Michelle. I am an enabler. I'm wearing a short skirt and a long jacket, and you're listening to Nutty Bites.
Hello, Mixed Nutcases. It is I, Nuke Joss, back for another Nutty Bites. How you been? So a couple of things have been happening. Basically, the Nutty Debates have been very interesting to record now that I'm using Google Hangout. Yeah, so if you want to watch a Nutty Debate live, check out Google Plus. I post up when I'm doing them ahead of time. Generally, I discuss the scheduling in the Facebook group. I know we're talking about two different social media aspects here, but if you're a friend of mine on Google Plus, you will get an invite to the Hangout. I just need to make sure that I figure out how not to spam everyone's email boxes. Should be a way to invite people without sending them email and making it annoying. But yes, so the Nutty Debates, they are being done on Google Hangouts. If you want to see an unedited version, if you want to see me on video looking like an idiot, go ahead and check out the YouTube channel. What is it? YouTube.com Nimlas Studios. And you'll be able to see the Hangouts before I edit them. But what I generally do is I record it on my own, just the audio. And then I go back and I edit it. I put in some promos. I, you know, take out all the ums and long drawn out spaces and so forth. And just, you know, clean it up for a nice, easy MP3 portable version that you can take with you on your MP3 player. So there we go. What else is going on? Well, let's see. I need to get a Nutty Debate up soon because there's a project that's happening that I really want to push. It's a Kickstarter that I really think everyone should be backing. You don't have to do much, you know, $5, $10, whatever. If you want to go for one of the larger ones, the rewards are very cool. But, you know, when it comes to a Kickstarter, I think the biggest successes are not the high dollar donations, but the small dollar donations, because they really do add up. But what am I talking about? Scott Roche is trying to fund an anthology, The Way of the Gun, a Bushido Western anthology. That's right. A Sunday matinee shoot 'em up with a dash of philosophy and tension as an ancient code deals with an increasingly modern world. That's right. We're going to mash up some Eastern philosophies with the spaghetti Western style. I like the idea. It sounds like a lot of fun. And it's an anthology. So you're not just going to be getting stories from Mr. Scott Roche, but you're also getting stories from Jake Bible, Justin McCumber, Zach Ricks, Jared Axelrod, and Doc Coleman. And you probably have heard these names before. They are associated with Flying Island Press. What else do we have in here? The Flagship Magazine, Fables of the Flying City, Swimming Cat Studios, Haywire, Dead Mech and the Americans. I mean, all of these projects are pretty fantastic. So these authors are very, very talented, and it'll be a lot of fun. There are a lot of great rewards or backer levels. I like the way that they've been titled. For instance, if you pledge a dollar or more, you're called a howdy partner. $5 or more, you're the school marm. $10 or more, buckaroo. You're a gunslinger. If you're $25 or more, that's pretty cool. Deadshot, the judge, Big Hoss, the Duke, and Randolph Scott. I mean, it's just a lot of fun. I really enjoy Kickstarters. I like what they can bring, and I like the fact that people who are creative are being able to get their fans to help fund them instead of having to beg publishing companies that really don't care about the project. And it's great because you're getting these traditionally self-published or small press authors, but because of Kickstarter, because of this funding, we're able to hire professional editors, artists, and all sorts of things. And it's fantastic. It's wonderful. So go ahead and get yourself signed up with that Kickstarter. It's pretty awesome. You've got until November 2nd. Okay. So just under a month. I mean, less than a month. We're already, how far into October now? Oh man. Almost 2 weeks into October. It's happening fast, so fast. So get yourself on board with that. And that's awesome.
My name is Walter Hartwell White. I live at 308 Negra Arroyo Lane, Albuquerque, New Mexico, 87104. To all law enforcement entities, this is not an admission of guilt. I am speaking to my family now. There are going to be some things that you'll come to learn about me in the next few days. I just want you to know that no matter how it may look, I only had you in my heart.
You understood what I've just said to you?
Yes. Lung cancer. Inoperable.
Best case scenario with chemo, I'll live maybe another couple of years.
Maybe you and I could partner up.
You want to cook crystal meth? You and me.
That's right. But you know the business. And I know the chemistry.
Tell me why you're doing this. Seriously.
Why do you do it?
Money? Mainly?
There you go.
Nah, come on. Man, some straight like you giant stick up his ass all of a sudden at age, what, 60? He's just gonna break bad?
I am awake.
Breaking Bad Podcast with your hosts, Michael, Allie, Jeremy, and Amber Lee.
What I'm watching.
Okay, so I got a couple of things, not in any particular order. Just finished up the first part of the latest Doctor Who series, and I know this isn't new. It's not new that I've been watching Doctor Who, but I think we needed to have a little bit of a special mention there. It's not a spoiler. Everybody understands that two of the companions will be leaving the show. The spoiler would be for me to explain how it happens. But I will tell you, I got a bit teary. I really did. We had some great guest stars in these first six episodes, and I'm really looking forward to see what happens next. I finally got to watch Series 3 and Series 4 of Torchwood. Netflix just put out the new one that Jane Espenson did. You know, Torchwood comes to America. It's very different. It's really different, but it's worth giving a watch to. I know a lot of people were really having a hard time with Torchwood after season 3. I found season 3 really hard to watch. I felt like season 3 was tearing Jack down. And a lot of things happen that I'm not going to spoil you on that make it really hard to come back. But I am going to tell you that I enjoyed Series 4. I think that while we tore Jack down in Series 3, we're starting to build him back up. And yeah, there were things that you missed, but at the same time, it was just a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun. And it ends with a very interesting notion, and I don't know if they're going to be doing any more Torchwood, but I'd really like some answers or a little more elaboration. But that's the thing about this kind of a series is it can be picked up in like 20 years and they can still do something with it. I mean, how many times have they done that with Doctor Who? This is not a new show to me, but for the first time, Tech got to see The Big Lebowski, and I hadn't seen it in a while. And while it was making me crave White Russians, I'm reminded at how good of a film that is. If you haven't seen it, please do yourself a favor. Go out and see it. I'm not sure how to explain it. What would the genre be? I mean, it's hard to explain. It's basically a very laid-back guy where a series of unfortunate events happen to him, yet throughout the entire time, he's utterly and completely laid back. And I believe the writers wrote the movie around somebody that they actually knew who spent his whole life in a bowling alley. Tech had never seen it before, and I was a little afraid that he wouldn't enjoy it as much as I did, but he did. He did, and that's awesome. Who doesn't like the dude? Is there a listener out there that does not like the dude, that didn't like The Big Lebowski? Please let me know. I'd be interested to find out, because as I am learning, there's always people that don't like what I like. And, you know, that's not surprising. But there are certain things that people don't like. For instance, we've got a mixed nutcase who doesn't like Firefly, and it shocks everyone. But no, it's okay. Some people are allowed to not like Firefly. That's okay. All right, so I've been watching Freaks and Geeks from the first episode. The only episode I ever really saw was the Dungeons and Dragons episode, and I always enjoyed it, but I never got a chance to go back and look at it. And so I did, and I am enjoying it immensely. Pretty much everybody that was in that show became somebody, which is awesome, and it's always interesting to go back and look at those shows. You know, Taxi is one of those shows, and I can't think of some of the others. But, you know, there are certain shows where everybody goes on and does great, great things, and this is one of those shows. And you can see the elements of the story of the characters in future projects as well. A lot of similarities, not similarities, but similar themes make their way into some of the Seth Rogen movies. He was in Freaks and Geeks, some stuff in Arrested Development and other things like that. So if you were picked on in school, it might be hard to watch because a lot of that happens. But at the same time, as I was picked on in school quite a bit, I found it kind of easier to watch it happening to somebody else. I don't know. I was going to talk about that new show, Elementary, but I realized I only talk about things that are awesome. So we're not going to talk about that one. No. Not at all.
Hi, this is Scott Roche, and I've always been a huge fan of Westerns. I've watched everything from Stagecoach to Posse. I've tried my hand at writing a few, always looking to bring my own perspective to the genre, and I've finally done it. I'm marrying the things I love best about the Western to another passion of mine, samurai. Imagine the gunslingers of the Old West with an honor code similar to the samurai's Bushido, the way of the warrior. The Way of the Gun, a Bushido Western anthology, will tackle that very concept. The stories will have all of the action and adventure that you'd expect from a Sunday matinee shoot-'em-up with a dash of philosophy and tension as an ancient code deals with an increasingly modern world. I'll be joined in this anthology of short stories by some of my favorite authors. Jake Bible, the mind behind Dead Mech and the Americans, Justin McCumber, author of the military sci-fi novel Haywire, Zach Ricks, editor of Flagship Magazine and the author of his own weird Western series, Jared Axelrod, creator of The Rich World behind Fables of the Flying City, and Doc Coleman, podcaster and author of the steampunk series Crackle and Bang. If you're as excited about the idea as I am, go to kickstarter.scottroche.com and you can find out more. Thanks, and we'll see you on the internet.
Games, that's right. What games am I playing? Well, the Scott Pilgrim video game was one of those free downloads on the PS Network or PlayStation Network, whatever. And I'm not a big game player. I watch tech play video games quite a bit. There are some games that I like. I'm a Tetris girl, okay? I really like Tetris. I may get killed in the first person shooters all the time, but you want to play Tetris head to head? Yeah, I'm going to beat you. But Scott Pilgrim, it's not exactly a side scroller, but it's got some of those elements and it's a bit of fun. I enjoyed playing it. I enjoyed watching it. It's horribly 8-bit. It's got a lot of really cute game references. And the gameplay is a lot of fun. I enjoy it. And every time you play, you start from the beginning, or at least the mode that we've been playing in, we start from the beginning. So it kind of reminds you of that old arcade feeling. Scott Pilgrim. Two thumbs up on that one. I also like how in the secret level they've coded glitches into it. It's horribly glitchy just to get that retro gaming feel. See, I played Red Shirts. It's a card game. Object is to kill off your red shirts. To whoever finishes without any red shirts wins the game. That's right. It's hysterical. There are so many little Star Trek references, but they're all parody because it's not a Paramount licensed product. So the Borg are the Berg and the Vulcans are of the Nemonian race. And there's all sorts of very funny puns and things. And you send your red shirts off on missions. And the goal is to have them die and is to have them fail. It's fantastic. It's very quick gameplay. You can screw over your opponents, but it's one of those things when somebody messes you up, you really can't take it to heart because it's just too funny. So I enjoy it. It's a great game. I recommend it at parties. Citadels, it's a board game. A lot of fun. In Citadels, players take on new roles each round to represent characters they hire in order to help them acquire gold and erect buildings. The game ends at the close of a round, which the player erects her eighth building. Players then tally their points, and the player with the highest score wins. And so every round, you've got a different character that you're playing. And it's a set amount of characters. It's just, who do you pick, right? Because everybody gets to pick in a different order. And each of the characters have different abilities, advantages. You know, the king is great and the assassin is nice and so is the thief. Apparently the person who kept playing the wizard is the one who won. Sneaky little wizard there. But it was a lot of fun. I did horribly. But I really enjoyed it, and I suggest you try it out. It's quite a bit of fun. I will say that you're not going to get the casual gamer to play this. This is more for the standard board gamer, somebody that's going to normally go and play board games with you. I also played a game called Elder Signs. I keep calling it Elder Scrolls, but that's Morrowind. Now, Elder Signs, it's a lot like Arkham Horror, but compressed and condensed, and you don't have to take up the entire table, and you don't have to play it for 3 hours. You can play around in an evening and then still have time for red shirts and flux, as we did, which was a lot of fun. Yeah, so you've got all of this Lovecraftian mythos, and you've got Cthulhu. It much like Arkham Horror, you're trying to prevent the old one from rising. Our first game, because we actually played two games in one night. Our first game, we had Cthulhu, and we were able to prevent him from rising. Our second game, we were just getting slammed. And the old one that we had, Narihoptep, I think it was, ended up being the easiest to kill after he rose. So we were able to just trounce him. I was like, wait, why were you so worried about that? But no, it was a lot of fun. We had five people playing, went pretty quickly. It is one of those things that when you're learning the game, it's a bit of a learning curve. Not that it's hard, but that you have to go through all the rules and everything. But then once you start playing, it's very easy to get into. And so it was easy for us to play the second game because we already knew what we were doing. So that was fun. I then played a game called Apples to Apples, which essentially is Cards Against Humanity for the tame crowd. After playing Cards Against Humanity, I'm not sure Apples to Apples is worth playing. Now, Cards Against Humanity, what is it, the description? If someone doesn't say we're going to hell at least once through the game, you're doing it wrong. Cards Against Humanity does not fit in the PG rating. It is no, not for children to overhear, but it's a lot of fun, and you have to be careful. If you play too much of it, you could sprain some cheek muscles from laughing too hard, split one of your abs, you could get a cramp. Yeah, so there you go, Cards Against Humanity.
Yes, we know there's a million podcasts out there, but there's only one Hollywood Outsider. Every week, your hosts, Aaron, Brian, Justin, and Scott, put their own spin on the latest in movie and TV news, new and upcoming releases, topics that are on ours or our listeners' minds, and hell, we even throw in some trivia where you can win a cavalcade of imaginary prizes. Most importantly, we have fun doing it. So come take a listen. Hollywood Outsider is available on iTunes, Zune, Stitcher Radio, or at thehollywoodoutsider.com.
Um, One of the things that I wanted to mention is I haven't tried it out yet, but I'm thinking about trying it out. Amazon and Audible have a very interesting deal. If you buy a Kindle of some titles, you can get the Audible, the audio version, at a discounted rate. And use their WhisperNet to catch up on where you are. So if you're reading your book, you know, you're reading it in bed and you finish it up and you close your Kindle or your Kindle app. And then the next morning, you want to listen to it on your device with the Audible app, I'm presuming. I don't know how it works yet. I haven't figured it out because I haven't actually done it yet, but I'm tempted to try this. It picks up in the audiobook right where you left off. You drive to work, you listen to your story. Then at lunchtime, you open up your Kindle and bing, bang, boom, you're moved ahead in the story again. That sounds awesome. And I would really like a listener to please call in 347-NUTTY-42. Let me know, have you done that? Is it as awesome as it sounds? Because it sounds pretty great. I don't think I've got any new podcasts that I want to discuss. So I think I'm going to wrap it up. And yeah, so that was your edition of Nutty Bites. Look forward to more nutty debates. Please join the Facebook group. Join the, I guess it's one up us, circle us on Google Plus. Check out the blog at nimlast.org/blog. And yeah, call in at 347-NUTTY-42 or send an email at nuttybites@nimlast.org. And I am L-A-S. Bye. Nutty Bites is produced by Nimlast Studios. You can find us at nimlast.org/blog. Contact feedback at nuttybites@nimlast.org. Call our voicemail line at 347-NUTTY-42 or 347-688-8942. This work is licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives 3.0 Unported License. Basically, you can share it, you can send it around to your friends, just don't change it, don't sell it, don't try to make any money off of it, and link back to me, my site, and everything.
Kitty Bites.
Called The Way of the Gun, a Bushido Western Anthology. Blah. The Way of the Gun, Armed for... armed, sorry.